Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You're listening to a talk as part of the Designing Longitudinal Research in Complex Multiprofessional Environments conference, organised by the Scottish Child Care and Protection Network. This talk was recorded on the 20th of April 2011. Bridget Daniel, Stirling University. Welcome and introduction from the chair.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. It's really nice to see people here, and I want to make a particular welcome to Stephanie, who's come all the way from Canada for us today, which is really nice, and with people from England as well as around Scotland. I was going to do just a brief introduction, just sort of setting the context of what today's and tomorrow's sessions would be. Some of you were involved in some of the earlier sessions, but some of you weren't. So I was going to just give a little bit of an overview so you can see where this all fits in. It's deliberately quite a small group of people because what we want to have is a lot of real in-depth discussion and to really talk in detail about the sort of guts and architecture of longitudinal studies. We felt actually you can do that better with smaller groups of people, people who've actually done it and are doing it, so that we can really compare notes. You will, there are copies of the presentations from today at the back if you haven't noticed them or if you haven't had them yet, they're over there. And we will get copies of anything else if there's other presentations developed as we go along and papers from this, they'll all be available in due course. We want to have as much discussion as possible, so though we've got formal presentations, there'll also be plenty of time for discussions. We've got a workshop in the afternoon, which we've got detailed briefings for, and we'll come to that later. The speakers are being recorded, which is always a bit daunting for the speaker, I have to say, but the speakers are being recorded. The question and answers won't be recorded as such, so you can feel free to say whatever you like in the questions and answers if you don't. But the speakers obviously are aware that they're being recorded, and that means that then the presentations will be available to a wider group of people. And the presentations from our previous seminars are available as well. And there will be follow-up reports and things that people will be able to pick up on. So we see this as a start of a process that's generating quite a lot of additional thinking and material that we can follow up with. And I was just going to just tell us a little bit about where we've got to so far. Series of seminars was kind of sparked from some work from the Scottish Child Care and Protection Network, which many of you will be familiar with in Scotland, that brings together a number of stakeholders who are interested in working collaboratively to improve outcomes for children in relation to research and how research can inform practice. And we had some funding from the Carnegie Trust to look at doing some work to develop a research proposal for a longitudinal study in Scotland to follow through children's journeys through the system. But the work for that proposal kind of made us pause in a way in terms of writing, going straight into writing that proposal, in the sense that we identified that actually we needed to be more thinking about what data there is already around about children in the system that we could maybe use more effectively for both actually operational issues as well as for practice. And also we identified there's a big gap in information about what services are actually being delivered to children by the range of different disciplines involved and how one actually captures that. And we felt we needed to do more thinking about some of that before launching into a big research proposal. The network is working closely with the Multi-Agency Resource Service, and the director, Beth, is here today, many of you all know. And the network and MARS are working closely to come closer together to create a hub for child protection, child welfare expertise, and we would hope to continue to take a lot of this work forward through that hub. And really the aspiration is that with the size that Scotland is and the fact that there's very close networks and people know each other, that we have a sort of a scale in Scotland where it should be possible for us to develop a kind of a national approach to better use and capture of data with regard to the well-being of children. So in terms of just briefly where this today fits in with our whole series, we had a three-day seminar in March, which on the face of it might have looked as if it could have been potentially a little bit dry given that it was described as being about data linkage. it was actually hugely vibrant and productive, and it brought some different sorts of people together, I think. We had folk emerging, blinking from behind their sort of computers, who are always dealing with data, who you don't normally get to see at conferences or meetings or seminars, because they're usually in the back room playing around data, and they were able to come. And it was really interesting to bring some from different sort of groups of people together. And I'll talk about some of the findings, some of the sort of main points that came from that in a minute. We thought that initially there would need to be a lot of discussion about whether it was a good idea to make better use of data and to link data. But in fact, that was agreed almost within the first minute of the seminar. The rest was then more about the issues that need to be solved and what needs to be in place to make that possible. So it felt as we moved straight into the sort of some of the strategic thinking quite quickly. The ones that we're holding today and tomorrow are building on that, but shifting the focus slightly much more to issues of research, more specifically, and particularly issues of methodology and longitudinal research, thinking about the scope, approach, and practicalities. And then we have another day seminar in June where we hope to bring together as many people who've been to all the other ones together, along with some others, to really kind of develop some momentum for taking a strategy forward. And one of the things I think where the jury is still out a little bit is whether what needs to be done is start from a small area where there's already quite a bit of data linkage going on and work up from that, or whether to start from a national basis and work down from that, or indeed maybe to start from both and see if we meet somewhere in the middle. And I think that in June, one of the things that we need to really focus on is how to develop a strategy that isn't so ambitious that we're trying to do everything, but is also comprehensive enough that it tells us something meaningful about both intervention and outcomes for children. And that is, I think, something that still needs quite a bit more thinking about, because the danger is to try to do too much. And I think that we're probably trying to do too much today, actually. But anyway. In terms of the first seminars, I think it's useful just to pull out one or two of the things that came out from this that I think are important for us to think about for this seminar. There we were thinking about what needs to be in place to ensure that the data that's routinely collected about children and families can be collated, cross-referenced and used to improve operational decision-making and to act as a basis for longitudinal research into outcomes for children. And we're thinking about children and families who are in receipt of substantial amounts of state intervention in some form or another by a range of different disciplines. And our view is that both these functions should be able to be served by some of the same data. But clearly the issue is that for some of the in-depth research into outcomes for some of the most vulnerable children, you need to augment the routine data with additional data that gives you more in-depth information. And I suppose the other key questions is how much is it sensible to collect routinely on all children, and how much do we then augment it with additional specific data to answer specific questions? And that's one of the things we want to think about as well. So the seminars today and tomorrow are focusing on the core constituents of a robust longitudinal design, fit for the evaluation of the efficacy of everyday professional intervention aimed at improving the lives of vulnerable children. So that's what we're trying to focus on today. And then, as I say, in the last seminar, we want to consolidate all of that and address some of these key issues and have some sort of strategic plan for taking this forward. So some of the key findings from the first seminar. The discussion focused around issues of developing a structured data mapping and linkage to facilitate the use of routinely collected data on children and families, and to look at data linkage on both a national and a local basis that would then form a bedrock for strategic planning and research and evaluation, and also, and crucially, thinking about the ethical parameters of some of this and what would be acceptable to all the different disciplines involved, because the different disciplines have different ethical frameworks and approaches to issues of data, to the different professions, which may be a little bit different sometimes to some of the different disciplines, and also would be acceptable to service users, and also to the general public at large, because the general public sometimes would consider themselves that it would be other people that might the data might be collected about, but sometimes it might be any of us and all of us. And there's lots of issues about whether it seemed to be other folk about which it's fine to collect data, but if it's us, it isn't. And I suppose that's one of the issues that we need to think about in terms of what is acceptable, in terms of what data is available. What was very clear is that there's a lot of data that's already collected, and there was a strong sense that the data that we already have could be used more creatively. And this is data that is collected just routinely, on a day-to-day basis within agencies, and also data that's collected, for example, through inspection activity. And Emma tomorrow is going to talk a bit more about some of the learning from inspection that happens around the country and the wealth of data there. But it's very clear that data is used very differently in different ways by different agencies and for different purposes. And rightly, some of the data is used for different purposes. But we got examples where data linkage has been demonstrated to be possible, and there's lots of examples of successful linkage projects. And we heard from projects in Australia and the States where data has been linked either directly in the sense that there's a common identifier, a number that's common to different services that's used, and so we have direct linkage. Or there was a lot of talk about something that I was unfamiliar with but now I'm much more familiar with after these seminars, which is probabilistic linkage, where you have two different data sets but you can bring them together with software that will enable you to link up under a range of demographic similarities, so you can bring databases together. That enables you to use existing databases without having to start from scratch. So there was very positive examples of where people are doing successful linkage projects. And the most successful ones tend to be a combination of having some kind of independent body which does things with the data and then feeds back something useful to the people that have provided the data to them in the first place. But that there's some level of independence, but that there's partnerships between academics and the agencies involved. So an element of independence and strong partnerships, but very good examples of where it has been done. Also in Scotland, we heard some very good and interesting examples of things that are already happening. The Scottish Health Informatics Programme presented a very impressive model for linking health data sets, a range of different health data sets, in a way that preserves confidentiality and anonymity but enables different sets to be linked. And they have already developed a very robust ethical framework for enabling data to be linked in a safe kind of firewalled place, which can then be fed back to people who have particular projects and research that they want to do, but fed back anonymously but linked. So they have done a lot of the thinking and done a lot of the work for this, and they're going to come back in June and do a reprise of some of that presentation, because a lot of the hard thinking has been done there, and that was a very impressive model. We also heard there's some very interesting work going on in what's happening with the looked after children data, in that there are now individualised returns to the government of looked after children data that can now be linked with the educational data. And that's being done in a direct way, not a probabilistic way. So there's a direct link. So already there is the potential to do much more delving into the educational performance and outcomes of children who are looked after, and that includes children who are looked after at home, which is a lot of children, and also a lot of work going on and how that can then be linked with the child protection statistical returns. So you're starting to see them where you've got two bodies of work where, with a bit of linking up some of the tentacles, you might be beginning to get closer to having some kind of access to health, education, and child protection data. So I think we all felt there was a sense of kind of being on a verge of quite a huge potential to take some of this dramatically forward in terms of getting much better information on a national basis about children. Also, the work from the GERFEC Pathfinder that Morag McNeil spoke about talked a lot about how there's a huge amount of routine data already there that can be used, both the direct data and as proxy indicators of well-being across all the well-being outcomes for children, known in Scotland as the Shinari outcomes, so safe, healthy, achieving these. I think we all felt, again, it's worth going back and looking at the evaluation report that was written about the GERFEC Pathfinder in the Highlands, because there's a lot of work that's already been done in there in thinking about what data you need to chart children's outcomes against the outcomes of children against the national indicators. And they've done a lot of the thinking in that and done a lot of the sourcing of what data might be out there. I think what was interesting about the GERFEC Pathfinder is they did quite a lot of work at a more global level in terms of looking at issues, statistics like, for example, levels, rates of teenage pregnancy, levels of smoking during pregnancy. So getting some sort of broader population data and looking at whether some of those had shifted as a result of some of the services that are provided and some of the work that's going on, but also looking at some of the outcomes for individual children. And again, this is the challenge about whether one looks at population level or whether one comes up from individual children up. And they've started to do some work on a bit of both of that. So another key issue that came out, though, was that there needs to be, at all levels of the system, a commitment to an understanding of the benefit of accurate data collection. Because what came through a lot from people particularly associated with local authority data collection was that a lot of people in the front line are very frustrated by a sense that they're feeding a system with lots of data, that they don't really see what happens to that data. They don't see any benefit to their day-to-day practice of feeding that data in accurately. And that there can be quite a... I was going to say cavalier attitude, that's not quite the right way, but people are not always as careful as they might be about being sure that all the data they enter is accurate, because they don't always necessarily see the benefits of that. It feels like just a bureaucratic exercise and not a real exercise. And it's about, I suppose, a shift of culture where people see that there's some purpose to having accurate and robust data collection, because it's of some benefit to ultimately back to the children that they're trying to support. Rather than getting in the way of the work, it should be seen as actually assisting the work. But that was seen as one of the big issues that would need to be addressed if taking forward a real sort of Scottish-wide approach to the better use of data. Because otherwise you come back to the basic kind of garbage in, garbage out situation. You could have lots of data to play with, but it may not mean anything if it's not accurate. There was a very strong argument that actually it's an ethical imperative to use data effectively. The ethical issues are not so much about having too much data about people, but the fact that there's a lot of data that isn't actually used effectively to improve services, to improve outcomes and to improve efficiency and effectiveness. And in fact, there's a very strong ethical argument for the better use of all the data that there is already existing. It certainly was felt that it was feasible to agree some kind of minimum data set about children in Scotland. And we heard from June, who's June Thoburn, who's here back today, tomorrow, which is very helpful, about the work that's going on in England for the Munro Review in looking at minimum data sets for England. And it would be very sensible for us to do some work that was congruent with that in Scotland, because then you've got a basis for doing some UK-wide comparisons, which, given that we have different kind of systems, would give us a very useful natural laboratory for doing some comparative work across the UK. And indeed, as June was pointing out, the more that there is some congruence more widely than that, you can start doing more international comparisons if you start to speak similar language about the kind of data you want to collect. So there was quite an upbeat sense that actually it would be quite feasible to do some of that in Scotland if there was seen to be enough benefit in terms of improving the effectiveness of services. So it was not about playing around with data just for the sake of it. And the people who gave presentations were all focused on how can we use this data to feed back to those who are delivering services at the front line to improve services for children. So it was not just seen as an academic exercise, because there's a danger of just playing around with data just for the fun of it. Everyone was very committed to, can we give something back then to improve the services? So what we want to do over these next 2 days is to focus much more on longitudinal design, because the thinking about the minimum data set and the data we already have takes us partway along the way. But as I was saying earlier, that only gives us part of the story, and there's two key things that are missing from that. One is the in-depth detail about some of the most vulnerable children, who, of course, are a very small proportion. It might feel to people who are working at the front line that, you know, it's an enormous issue. But across the population of children, the number of children in receipt of very specific comprehensive services as a result of concerns about their well-being is quite small. And it does mean that your cell sizes, your numbers of children you're talking about to do in-depth statistical analysis is quite small. And it really does make the argument for, if you really want to discover anything very useful, you do need to look at pretty much, probably in Scotland, you need to look at this pretty much on a national basis to get enough of a large enough cell size to be able to see anything meaningful. And your routine data will take you so far with that, but we need much more additional data, in particular, about how we capture the levels and quality of actual intervention that's being provided to children. Because if we want to track the effectiveness of intervention, we need to actually be able to somehow capture intervention. So the issues to consider really are some of the key design and analytical issues. Issues around data collection and outcome measures. The practicalities in setting up longitudinal research. When you look at published academic papers about longitudinal research, and with apologies to anyone here who's written some of these papers, but it all looks very slick when you read the paper. But you know that actually behind all of that, there's been a huge amount of really complex work to get the architecture right for longitudinal studies. And you can't get all of that information in an academic paper. You need to speak to people and actually say, well, what were the practicalities in getting all this set up? Longitudinal studies are very, very expensive and time-consuming, and they have to be absolutely right from the beginning. Otherwise, you're wasting an awful lot of, if you get state funding to do them, you're wasting a lot of state funding doing them. So they have to be right. And that means getting all the practicalities and the architecture right from the first place. And then, obviously, one of the issues we want to look at is how do we actually capture the nature and intensity of routine multi-professional practice? Because the kind of data that's collected routinely tells us about process, you know, numbers of case conferences, children coming in or out of care, but it doesn't tell you, it doesn't capture what people have actually provided in terms of therapeutic support or services to children in a way that helps us to then tie up the intervention with the outcome. So today we're focusing particularly on design, and particularly issues around questions of depth versus breadth, sampling issues, the specific issues of studying what we would call, in shorthand, vulnerable populations, some of the ethical issues and analytical considerations. So that's what we're going to focus on today in the presentations and in the workshops.
This recording is copyright of Iris 2011. It may be reused in the terms of Creative Commons licenses, Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 2.5, UK Scotland license. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.